Good. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. The page numbers in the Bibles that you have are on the screen behind me. And the words are also there if you want to follow along that way. Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Catherine, thank you very much. You'll find it useful to have Luke chapter 11 handy. We're actually just going to zero in on the last bit of that, verses 11 through 13, the stuff about the snakes and the scorpions. We're in this little series over the last few weeks on learning prayer from the Lord Jesus. And as we get stuck in, I'm going to pray and ask for his help. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask for your Holy Spirit, like the Lord Jesus taught us, that we might have open hearts to hear your words, open hearts to receive your encouragement, to receive your correction where we need it, and to follow you. Help us, we pray, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I've said before that there are maybe 3 types of sermons that tend to make people feel anxious. The first tends to be sermons about evangelism and sharing your faith with other people. Another tends to be sermons about money and giving, and we did that a few months ago. Another one is sermons on prayer, and here we are on 3 out of 4. And I think they are prone to make us feel anxious, because often we hear those things and we feel guilty. Guilty about our generosity, guilty about our timidity, guilty perhaps about how limited or how lacking our prayers are. Now, sometimes, quite frankly, that guilt is misplaced. I think there are plenty of times where we should feel encouraged and where we should be confident that actually in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is pleased with us. But sometimes we feel guilty, and we should. But whichever you are, Jesus speaks now, and he speaks in order to help us and to encourage us. You might notice that as we come to the end of these verses in Luke 11, he doesn't scowl at us and he doesn't kind of give us a clip round the ear. He teaches us to remember who our God is. Why is it that at times we hesitate to pray? Why is it that at times we quietly slip into not praying? Why is it that sometimes, actually, quite frankly, we actively choose not to pray? Now, there are likely a whole range of reasons for that. But at least some of them are to do with who we think we are praying to. What we think God is like how we expect him to treat us. And here Jesus gets at those issues and gets underneath our skin just a little bit. Are you not sure what to pray? Are you not sure what to expect when you pray? Are you not sure maybe that you want to pray? Jesus says, come and know how good and wise and generous your God is. Let me energize, let me shape your prayers. And I think he gives us two big things to get to grips with here. And the first one is this. Our Father is good. Jesus takes us actually all the way back to the beginning of the prayer he taught back in verse 2. He says to the disciples, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, and so on. We pray to our Father, Jesus says. And he gives us a couple of comedy pictures with an edge to help us into that. Verse 11, what father among you? You might just notice there that Jesus doesn't put you on the therapist's couch and say, now I want you to cast your mind back to your childhood, back to your dad's. Whether you had a really good dad or whether, quite frankly, you've got some baggage that you're carrying around, like, you can go there. It can help with the picture, but you don't need to go there. Rather, Jesus actually invites you to think about yourself and the people around you right now. He looks at the dads in front of him as he speaks, perhaps among the disciples. Perhaps there are more people there listening in as well. He invites everybody else to look around at the dads, or if you want to do it this way, kind of imagine that you are a dad and you've got a son, and think about what you would be like. And he asks, verse 11, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Because, you know, it has been part of life ever since Jesus was around 2,000 years ago and probably back then. You know how it goes. Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have a snack? Or maybe the other way around. Kids, what do you want for your lunch? And look, we don't keep exotic pets in our house. But I can honestly tell you I have never handed out snakebite surprise instead of tuna mayo. I have never given scorpion sting and soldiers instead of a boiled egg. And whatever pet arrangements you might have in your house, I think I'm pretty safe in assuming that you haven't done that either. I mean, who gives their own son something dangerous, something possibly life-threatening, when they've been asked for a snack or been asked for a meal? Now, actually, you can go back in history and you can find some really twisted examples of stuff like that, kind of royal families struggling for power and killing their own family members. But Jesus says, what father among you? Just think about you for a moment. If you're a dad with a son, or if you're willing to kind of put on the dad's shoes for a moment and imagine what you'd be like, what would you do? Not that. And yet, I know very well that my own history as a father is littered with all sorts of impatience and all sorts of selfishness and all sorts of bad temper and all sorts of laziness. Many times where I have lacked compassion. There are times when my children say, it's not fair. And they are absolutely right. And whether you're a father or whether you're imagining yourself in father's shoes, you maybe know those sorts of things inside you also. And Jesus knows. And actually, that's part of his point. Verse 13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give? Now, you might just choke a little bit over Jesus' words. Evil? Really? Surely that word is only for fathers who end up on kind of Channel 5 true crime documentaries. But Jesus is getting at where all that selfishness and bad temper and lack of compassion really come from. We are like that because we are sinners. We are not as bad as we might be. We still know how to give good gifts, but we are still deeply corrupted by sin. Always in need of thee, forgive us our sins, back in verse 4. And here is Jesus' point. If we are generally inclined to love our children, generally inclined to hear their requests with a smile, generally inclined to give them good things, even though we deeply need to pray day after day, forgive us our fatherly sins, what about God? And actually, if you go through Luke's gospel, he talks about the Father in quite a number of places. And it's interesting to go through how Jesus talks about the Father in Luke's gospel and some of the parables where the Father figure in the parable is clearly meant to teach us about God. And in that, you find that God is merciful, chapter 6, and glorious, chapter 9, and gracious to nobodies, chapter 10. He notices and he's concerned about even our daily needs, chapter 12. He intends to give his children nothing less than his kingdom, chapter 12 again. He is full of compassion, even for the most offensive and self-destructive sinners, chapter 15. Is he the kind of father to play cruel, dangerous, practical jokes on his kids that are only funny for him? Truly not. Rather, Jesus says, take your very best moments and then realize that they are only the faintest taste of what your Father in heaven is like. How much more will your heavenly Father give? And then actually take another step. Just think about exactly what Jesus is inviting us into. Amongst Jewish people at the time, it wasn't unknown to speak about God as Father. God, at the Exodus, talks about Israel as his son. But Jesus teaches us to speak to God in a way that would have been extremely unusual back then. And it comes not from some sort of thing that Jesus had been reading or some idea he'd nicked. It comes from him. It comes through him. Jesus, the Son, is inviting us to expect to be welcomed by the Father and treated by the Father the way he is. Two, as we come to know Jesus, as we come to be connected to Jesus through faith in him, to hear, as it were, an echo of that voice that came when Jesus was baptized. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. That's what we need to know as we pray. That's what we need to know in those moments when we're tempted not to pray. This is what we are to chew over, what we're to meditate on, especially when we are inclined to believe or to fear something different about God. At one time, I was having a difficult time with something, and I went to talk to a good friend about it. And they were very helpful. And a few days later, they sent me just a quick WhatsApp message to check in. And their message said this: morning, Joel. How are you doing this week? Try to keep this at the forefront of your mind. I am a loved child of God. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. His smile is upon me this morning, and nothing in all creation can separate me from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus. As you come to pray this week, perhaps as you struggle to pray, those things are for you as well. Try to keep them at the forefront of your mind. To pray is the right choice. To persevere is the right choice, because our Father is good. And that leads into the second thing Jesus gives us right at the end of our passage. Second thing to know about God as we pray: our Father knows best. Our culture, I think, has a slightly sketchy relationship with fathers. Certainly there are some good examples out there, kind of in the public eye or in the stuff we watch or the stuff we read, and there is some genuine appreciation. On the other hand, when you think about it, the stereotype sitcom dad is kind of well-meaning often, kind of fun often, but basically he's a bit of an idiot. He's like another child in the family. When I went to buy my dad a Father's Day card last month, when I looked at the range on the shelf, there were an awful lot of cards where really I could only congratulate my dad either about his beer consumption or about breaking wind. And if you've watched children's TV for any length of time, you've had 20 years of learning from Peppa Pig, silly daddy. Father knows best doesn't necessarily compute very well for us. And yet the last part of Jesus' words are really worth thinking about. Verse 13, Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give?" And what do you expect him to say? I guess we expect good gifts. And actually, Jesus does say that in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7, clearly when he taught these sorts of things on another occasion. That's not a wrong answer. But right here, he says something different. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, clearly, Jesus expects you to ask for and to receive all sorts of things from our Heavenly Father. Actually, when you go back through the prayer in verses 2 through 4, the Lord's Prayer, you've got a whole bunch of requests there. And yet now Jesus zeroes us in on the Holy Spirit. But why would you want that? Just think about the things that you have prayed for this week. Why would the Holy Spirit be a good answer to those prayers? How could the Holy Spirit really be the much more that infinitely tops our best moments with our kids? Well, on one level, the Holy Spirit, very simply, is the key way that God acts in our circumstances and shapes events around us. He is a key way that God helps us. And yet, God doesn't always give us exactly what we ask for. But he does always give when we ask. And the Holy Spirit, it really is at the heart of what he gives. Just think about how deep and how good that gift is. When you go back to the Lord's Prayer, those requests that Jesus taught us back in the previous few verses, actually, the Holy Spirit is at the heart of all those things. He is the one who turns our hearts towards God to hallow, to honour his name. He is the one who teaches us to trust and give thanks when things are difficult, even when it's tempting to grumble and doubt. He is the one who changes our lives so that we begin to live more and more the values of God's kingdom. He is the one who opens people's hearts when we share the good news of Jesus Christ with them so that they come in and be part of his kingdom. He is, actually, as the Apostle Paul says in one of his letters in the New Testament, our deposit guaranteeing that we will finally enjoy the fullness of God's kingdom. He is the one who helps you work hard this week and honestly so that you can earn your daily bread. He is the one behind the generosity and the love and the kindness of your brothers and sisters here who have helped you with your daily needs in different situations. As we ask for forgiveness, he is the one at work in our hearts and our lives, working in us so that we are not doomed to the same sins and the same sorries going round and round and round and round. He is the one filling us with a sense of God's mercy so that we begin to forgive like we have been forgiven. He is the one arming us against temptation, and so that every time we choose what is right and stop doing what is wrong, it's because he's at work. And then you might just think more widely. How is it that actually Jesus will be with you this week? He said to his disciples, I will be with you until the very end of the age. How on earth? Actually, when he is enthroned in heaven and you're here, and actually, what are there, 70, 100 odd people, all kind of hoping for the same thing this week, and a lot more Christians across Derby, and a lot more Christians across the world. How will Jesus be with you? How is it, as we come to the Lord's Supper in just a moment, that your soul will be fed as well as your stomach? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. Why don't we pray? Well, I guess I'm not sure it'll work. You know, I prayed before and nothing really seemed to happen. Now, I think there are several possible objections to possible answers to objections like that, but Jesus here gives us a really important one. Is it just possible that your Heavenly Father knows better and will do you one better? Jesus says, our Father knows best. He gives nothing less than the Holy Spirit. Come and pray and come and be blessed. But perhaps also he begins to put things like this in this way to begin shaping our prayers a little bit. Not that you suddenly kind of shrink all your prayers down to, and please may I have the Holy Spirit, amen, every day. But perhaps that you do begin to pray with the Spirit in mind. Lord, in this tricky relationship, this difficult conversation this week, please grow the Spirit's fruit of patience in me. Lord, I struggle badly with my temper and the things I say in this situation. Please give me the Holy Spirit's fruit of self-control. Lord, I feel so bitter about how things have turned out for me. Please cultivate the Spirit's joy in me. Please cultivate in me a sense of how deeply I'm in your hands and how much you have done for me. The Holy Spirit may not have been on the tips of our tongues when we prayed this week, but to those who trust in Christ and to those who ask, the Father has been giving. Our Father gives more richly and far more wisely than we are prone to expect. Our Father knows best. Jesus says, come and learn to pray. Come and learn to know our Father and to ask, confident in his goodness, confident that he knows best what we need, and learning to ask in line with his much more. I'm going to pray for us. Father, again, we ask that by your Spirit that you might open our hearts to your words. Might we hear the Lord Jesus with all the weight and all the warmth that he intends. Might we step into our weeks more ready to pray, more convinced of your goodness, more convinced of your wisdom. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.